Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Spiros are found naturally in open habitats with warmer climates, mainly desolate wastelands and fields. I don't know where my local desolate wasteland is. Do you have one near you?
I don't think so.
I could find a field pretty easy.
Desolate wasteland. I mean, all of Southern Illinois is a desolate wasteland.
True. Take that, Southern Illinois. Anyway.
You're tuned into the GoCast podcast, your one-stop shop for updates, news, tips, and community in the world of Pokemon Go. Thank you for listening.
Birds of a feather are featured together in an upcoming research day.
A new month means a new update. It's gonna be May.
And more on this episode of GoCast. Hello and welcome to the GoCast podcast, episode 280. It is May the 4th. May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. Yes, welcome on in. I'm Chris, your host, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle.
Hiya.
Hey, Kyle, how we doing?
I'm okay. It's early.
Well, yeah, it is.
As you ask, I guess it's early.
Well, it's early. It's early for us. We very rarely record before like 4 o'clock in the afternoon is the earliest usually. We sat down to get started at 11 a.m. on this Saturday, Star Wars Day. So yeah, this is pretty early. So got a little bit of morning voice going on for both of us still. It's nice. We love that. but anyway, welcome on in. We've got some cool stuff to talk about, including the May content update and a masterwork research and a new research day. But before we get there, we've got some goals to address because we had an extension, Kyle, you and I, on these goals because we didn't record on Tuesday this week. We pushed it all the way back to Saturday.
Yeah.
So let's see how you and I utilize that extra time. okay. All right. So, Mr. Kyle, did you complete the Kanto research?
No.
What are you stuck on?
I'm not stuck on anything, but I am on step two.
Oh, okay. Wow. There's five.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to carry this one over, I think.
Don't worry about it. Maybe it depends on what's spawning in the wild, but yeah.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. 500,000 experience.
I did not do that.
Okay. All right.
One person who has not done a friendship. I had one best friend, but the other one didn't happen. So.
Oh, your fault, their fault?
Their fault. They have the gift. I said anytime was good.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Hey, you want to call them out right now? You
could. They know.
They know.
They commented on Discord like 3 days or like a week and a half ago when we were like 3 days away. So yes. It's fine. Yeah. It's just I thought it was very funny.
Okay. All right. Kyle's feeling benevolent today, keeping it in the DMs or the pseudo DMs of our Discord, I suppose. and then did you catch the new, the elusive, the funny Wiglet this week?
No.
You didn't make it out to a beach?
No.
Each? Let's go get away? No.
Nope.
Oh, dang. Okay.
I'll tell you why once you do your goals.
So. Okay. Okay. We might have similar reasoning here. Did I do Kanto? Oh, sorry. I don't want to go by without saying that was a big old goose egg over three. Dang. Yeah, that's right. Kanto research for myself. I did complete that not an hour ago. I had like one more thing to do on that last step. So that's done. 18 million Stardust on hand. Dude, I'm at 18.3 right now, so I'm ahead of the curve. So I think I'm going to skip one of the milestones and catch back up. Yeah, I forgot when we were setting these goals that Cleffa Hatch Day was going to happen over the weekend. completely forgot about it. I did do it. We'll talk about it in a minute. But yeah, that helped out quite a bit. That definitely helped out. And then did I catch the elusive, the funny, the interesting, the new Wiglet? And the answer is also no. Okay, but so I did go to a beach. I did. There's a beach here for a lake at Crystal Lake, the lake, not the one from the movies with Jason, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Friday the 13th. Yeah. Crystal Lake, not that one, a different one. And I walked around, I walked along the beach there. And if you know anything about me, the one thing you won't find on my dating profile is enjoying long walks on the beach. I enjoy short walks far away from the sand and the water. Because I don't like fish. Yeah. I like fish. I don't like being around them. Anyway. Oh, I should clarify. The animal fish, not our co-host on PvP Corner. I'm a fan of that fish for sure. And would like to be around them. but yeah, no. No time. No dice, rather. It didn't work out for me. I spent like a half hour.
When you were there, did you get the beach background?
I did. Yes. Okay. Yes, I did. And it extended away from the water a fair amount, some places more than others. It was strangely zoned. It wasn't like it was following the water's edge. It seemed like it was really concentrated on the area that was actually like the official beach area with the fences around it and stuff. So that was interesting for sure. But yeah, no Wiglet, unfortunately. But I did get a 2 out of 3, which is... which is, I guess, a win in this scenario. Yeah. Okay. So, Wiglet. Talk to me about Wiglet. You didn't get a chance to go find one, or you didn't, or...
I'm going to be very honest here. I played so little Pokemon Go in the last, what's it been, not 10 days?
Yeah.
I have played so much Monster Hunter now.
Yeah?
so much. Before work... after work, on my days off, it's, yeah. The game's wow. Had some really, really good updates. The game is a ton of fun. Still, it's a ton of fun still, but, like, some great quality of life updates.
Dare I suggest that we do a quick Monster Hunter minute?
Okay.
All right, so, Kyle, what's going on? There's been so many updates and quality of life changes to that game, so, and it's cool because we got a lot of stuff in Go as well, but Monster Hunter's been really blowing the lid off, man.
So there's two updates for anyone who's played the game, and I'll make a tie into Go because it's going to make perfect sense. One, you can track a specific monster that you want. Whatever you want, you can set it, and then it's like doing field research in Go. If you complete a certain amount of hunts, you'll get a free encounter to fight that monster. So you don't have to go find that one in particular. You can just find anything and get that. And you can get 5 a day. And the amount of hunts you have to do stacks up. It's like 3, 6, 9, 15, 20 or something like that to get all 5. And so it's great. Just really good. I fought more Legiana in the last 10 days than I had in my entire time previously playing the game.
Nice, nice.
So that's great. But that's kind of equivalent to what Go has with field research. So this is just good to come to now.
I mean, yes, but also no, because Monster Hunter gives you more agency because you get to be specific and purposeful with your time, right? Instead of rolling the dice, I guess.
It's better, but it's a parallel. Like, you can go find specific field research that give the rewards that you want.
That's true.
Was actually agency that didn't exist in Monster Hunter before. So it's really nice that it exists now. And two, their hunt-a-thons, which are their equivalent to raids.
The hats.
Yeah, used to work exactly like Pokemon Go raids do currently without remote raid passes. You had to be there. Whoever was there joined. You did it. Done. That's it. They realized, hey, this is a bad idea. And they just made global matchmaking for it. You literally load into your raid. It finds someone else in the world who's also doing that same raid and just puts you in the same lobby and and you can start it.
It works.
It works so well. Yeah. It takes less time for me to do the 5 hunts in a hunt-a-thon than it does for me to do a 5-star raid in Pokemon Go. So, like, it's very good.
Yeah. I mean, again, hey, I'm going to pose the question. How long until we pivot to Nowcast? You know, like, my word. But it is actually kind of staggering how many updates that game has been getting. And some of the design philosophies in the game itself are so not what we're used to from being Go-centric and Go-focused players. It almost makes you wonder, like, not wonder, it makes it feel as though the game is made by a different company altogether. It's very clearly a different group, but it feels
So here's the thing. Here's my thought, because I'm thinking about it. I read stuff online all the time. Capcom makes Monster Hunters, teamed up with Niantic to make Monster Hunter Now, has expressly said Monster Hunter Now is a funnel game to get people to go play our other games.
Yeah.
They want people to play Monster Hunter Now, think it's fun, and go hunt monsters on their PC or play it on the Switch or PlayStation when the new games come out next year. And I think that every single positive change that's happened in Now is from Capcom's direction. I think that Capcom knows how to make video games. They've been doing it for 35 years.
True.
And they know what people like. And obviously they have to pivot and change because it's a mobile market. But, and it's very clear that for Go, it's either very restricted by the Pokemon Company, which I believe because the Pokemon Company is very strict.
Yeah.
Or it's only partially restricted and the Pokemon Company tells Niantic, hey, here's your guidelines, and then you do that. And Niantic is notably not a video game developer. They're not very good at it. Let's be real.
Right, right.
And it's a stark difference.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I think that's probably right on the money. Honestly, the partner company in that case really does make a lot of sense. But it just is so strange that when they make changes in Go or don't make changes in Go, that their defenses are always these core pillars of their company. And it doesn't seem to apply unilaterally to all of their projects.
It's very strange. And let's be clear, by the way, Monster Hunter Now's monetization is really bad. It's not as bad as Go is, just because there's not as many things to monetize, but it's not good. That said, they do have two separate battle passes that you can buy, sort of, so you know, pick your poison there. Battle pass is quite good value if you complete it.
it's a lot.
One major difference I wanted to point out for people who don't play Monster Hunter but play Go, obviously, is raids have a cooldown instead of using a ticket, instead of using a raid pass. So you just do the raid for free. There's no cost to entry. And then you can't do another raid for 3 hours. Or you can pay a ticket to do another one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't restart the timer, though. So like, if you do raids during those 3 hours, at the end of 3 hours, you'll get another free raid.
That's sick. And by raids, for those of you that are like, that play Monster Hunter Now, he does mean the hats, but we're saying raid because it's the equivalent in
it's
on this Go show.
It's crazy. Like, if you plan your day, you can do one before work, you can do one on your lunch break, you can do one on your way home, and that's three raids for free during the day.
You've got a look of a man who's done this.
I have done that. In fact, I went out to do a raid on my lunch, and none of the spots near my store had a huntathon in it, and I was sad. And I went back to work sad.
Oh man, yeah. But did you get one afterwards?
I did do one after work. Yes.
Nice.
The huntathon go later than raids do in Go, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. I also wonder. I can probably say confidently that the demographic for Monster Hunter skews older than Pokemon does fair amount.
It's got to be, especially because Monster Hunter Now is not as friendly for younger people to play, I will say.
Yeah, it's challenging.
Yeah, it's harder. It is more invested, and it's far more rewarding for traveling longer distances.
Yeah.
In Go... Oh, I don't even mention this. Monsters used to respawn every 3 hours in Monster Hunter, and now they respawn every hour. It's like a game-changing quality of life update.
Yep.
I couldn't even imagine the equivalent in Go. It's crazy.
Yeah, it would just be like essentially tripling the spawn rate of Pokemon in the wild is what it would be.
Yeah. Could you imagine going to your local park and getting triple the spawns? Well, triple the frequency of spawns.
That's just an event. That's just community day. You know what I mean? But like all the time, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, they're killing it. They're killing it. Keep on keeping on Monster Hunter Now.
Monster Hunter Now is a lot of fun. I am enjoying it a lot. I am still so far behind the curve of progression. So there's that, but I'll get there eventually. I'm enjoying it a lot.
You will. Your hunter rank has been going up, so you know. Keep it up. Keep it up. All right. Well, that's it for our Monster Hunter 5 minutes. Okay, so while Kyle was doing that, I spent my weekend doing Cleffa Hatch Day. So Kyle, did you manage to do Cleffa Hatch Day? Did you have no interest?
No. I had no interest. I was also at work. I started at 2, so like I couldn't have even if I wanted to.
Okay.
Not worth getting the day off for me, that's for sure.
No, that's fair. That's completely fair. It was good. The rate was exceptional, at least for me. I hatched 57 event eggs over the course of that event and hatched 5 shiny Cleffa. No hundos, unfortunately. But yeah, it was successful, and that's a large amount of eggs, but still that rate is pretty good. So like, you know, 1 in 10-ish, 1 in 6-ish, not bad at all. And it looks like people had that success kind of across the board. If you hatched like 10 or 20, you probably got 1 or 2. So yeah, I think it went well. And I hope that we get more of those, 'cause I love a hatch day. I really, really do. But anyway, let's hop into the news. We've talked a lot, and none of it's been about Pokemon Go news yet. So let's get going. Yo, what up? It's the news. Okay, first and foremost, we're going to talk about the May content update, because you don't got to put the overarching thing there first, right? So the featured Pokemon on this first image of 4 that they put up on their social media, I still, every time that they do this, I still just miss the proper blog posts. I really do.
Yeah, these, I really dislike the only posting on Twitter/X. It's just,
yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Don't like it.
And the fact that there's not like a post on like a blog post that's not even just like a, hey, we put this on X, here's a link to that post, go look at it. If you go to just the website and you don't use X, you would have no idea. Like, yeah, none. So anyway, the featured Pokemon on the front here are Shadow Suicune shiny, which makes sense because we've gotten Shadow Raikou and Shadow Entei in Shadow Raids recently. So it's about time for the Blue Boy Wonder to come through. And then Blacephalon and Stakataka, which Kyle covered in the previous episode, those Ultra Beasts. Or was it 2 episodes ago? Recently.
Last
week we skipped Gear Up, right? So the one before that. Moving on to 5-star raids for the month of May. So you'll already be seeing this first one because it is the 4th. And it started on the 2nd, going through May 16th, is Tapu Fini. And it will know Nature's Madness, which was that Tapu featured attack that the other ones have gotten. So this is great. Then from the 16th through the 23rd, you'll be seeing Regirock, which is always great. You know, big ups for the Regirock memes online. We love those. And then in the Western Hemisphere from the 23rd of May through June 1st, we'll be seeing Blacephalon, and then equally in the same time period, or day period rather, we'll be seeing Stakataka in the Eastern Hemisphere. So they are doing that hemispherical split. So yep, there's that. Shadow Raids, Shadow Suicune, as we said, it's just mentioned again here. Great. In Mega Raids, from the 2nd through the 16th is Mega Alakazam. The 16th through the 23rd is Mega Gyarados, Shrimp Gang. From the 23rd through June 1st is Mega Pidgeot. Here are some events. This weekend, this will be over by the time you hear this episode, but it is Go Battle Weekend. We hope that you had some success in your battles if you chose to do it. That's great. And going on right now is also Rivals Week. That's going to end on May 9th. On May 11th, we're going to be talking about this event in just a moment here. It is the Flock Together Research Day. Get your guesses in now for what that's about. It should be pretty obvious, I hope. May 14th through May 19th is the Catching Wonders event, which Kyle and I were looking at with our heads cocked to the side a little bit. No idea. Not even an inkling of what that could be about. Do you have any ideas at all, Kyle? No.
Nope. I mean, it's called the World of Wonders, so who knows? Like, that's the whole season. Could be anything. They could call anything wonders.
That's true. They really, really could. Fingers crossed for a third Poiple. That'd be sick. May 19th is May Community Day. We still don't know what that is. Hopefully that announcement comes soon, because that's coming up real quick. May 23rd through May 28th is Ultra Space Wonders. Now, this one also says wonders, but Ultra Space implies Ultra Beasts. So we'll probably be getting, you know, something else going on there. Do you think they're going to let us evolve our Poiple this season, or do you think we're gonna have to wait?
Were we able to evolve Cosmog in the same season it came out?
Yeah, to Cosmoem, so. And then by the end of that season, I believe we were able to do the Solgaleo Lunala choice, I think.
Probably then. I don't know. I'm not overly confident we're going to see something like Poiple in raids. So
no, me neither.
Not sure. It's kind of a weird one.
It is, but it is the only Ultra Beast that can evolve. So it's, what's strange is that I kind of feel like it is a good candidate to be in raids, even though it looks like they're going the opposite direction. But
on the same note, we still haven't had Cosmog in raids. Like,
that's true.
They could many raids.
Yeah.
Lunala and Solgaleo, people love them. Like, you don't even have to give us more Cosmog necessarily. Like, if they're worried about that part of it.
And they're really popular. They're really, really popular, those Pokemon. And people have just been kind of dying for more focus on Alola. I mean, we'll get there, right? Eventually, we'll get a tour. Right. And some questions will have to be answered at that point in time.
Probably not. Not at this point.
I mean, we still don't have answers for Fiona Manaphy. Right. Arceus. So I guess maybe not. But anyway, moving on. The last event here is on May 26th. It's an incense day. That's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Interesting to see what that one will shake out to be.
That's another Sunday.
Woohoo. Are you going to take off for an incense day?
No. Under no, I've done one incense day. I was supremely disappointed.
Yeah.
And not again. They're not bad. They're just, I certainly will not plan my time around them.
No, it's a nice to have. It's not something.
If you want to go play that day, that's really cool. But like, you're going to have to make that real special to make it plan worthy.
So what is your like litmus test? Like, what events are worth taking off work for and which ones aren't?
I think it's just silly. We've probably talked about it before, but something first that I'm looking forward to, like if that's a completely subjective thing that it can't really control, but something else is that you have agency over doing. So like if I was looking forward to hatching Cleffa,
yeah,
I'd take off for the hatch day. Cause like, that's cool. I can do exactly what I wanted to. I made sure to play Lucario or Riolu hatch day. Cause I looked forward to that.
Yeah.
But like if it's a community day that I don't care about, it doesn't matter that I have a lot of agency. If I don't want to put in the effort for that Pokemon, it's going to be whatever, you know?
That's fair. Yeah.
The issue with incense days in the past is they try to do too much. They do like psychic and dark type. They rotate. You only have like two Pokemon you want in the whole hour, but it's only off of incense, so it's only when you're walking. So you take part in the whole day, and you feel like you got like a quarter of the encounters that you probably should have.
Yeah, I don't think expectation is met with incense days in the past. I think that's right. Let's talk a little bit about raid hours, though. On May 1st, from 6 to 7 p.m., by the way, our raid hours. May 1st is going to be Registeel. This is already past us, actually. May 8th and May 15th are going to be Tapu Fini. May 22nd is Regirock. And May 29th, depending on which hemisphere you're in, it will be Blacephalon or Stakataka. Spotlight hours, also from 6 to 7 p.m. local time. On May 7th, you're going to be seeing Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee. That is 2x transfer candy. Abra is going to be on May 14th, and that's 2x evolution experience. There you go, Mr. Kyle. Ever closer to that level 50. On May 21st is going to be LGM with 2x catch Stardust. We love that little alien. Can be shiny, by the way. People often forget. And then on May 28th will be Marini, 2x catch experience, where it is still a crime that we do not have the shiny, but we will begin it soon enough, I'm sure. And that's pretty much it. That's it for May. Yep.
Yeah.
Yahoo. So yeah, if any of that was a highlight to you, it was a highlight to you. And if it wasn't, it wasn't. That's it. Yeah. Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah. But I think there's a conversation to be had though, because we're getting Blacephalon and Stacataca.
Yeah.
Blacephalon's going to be very good. Stacataca, not so much. Once again, one hemisphere gets the short end of the stick, but at least the population is more divided on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you want both if you're playing this game. I mean, you want both, whether it's good or bad. It doesn't matter. You want them. So there is value.
I was talking to the Discord. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Artemis Dragon who brought it up about, hey, why are they doing this? This kind of is bogus. And so I was thinking about it. I responded. And then I also, like, I responded to convince them of why it is happening. And in the same post, I convinced myself of why is this happening?
Oh.
Like, I undermined myself as I finished that. So I wanted to talk about it because for those who don't play the main series games, Blacephalon and Stacataca are version exclusives. If you play, I believe if you play Sun, you get Blacephalon. If you play Moon, you get Stacataca. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. It's reversed. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And they want you to trade. You can only get two of each of them. So if you play Scarlet and Violet, it's like getting the box legendary. You get to have an extra so you can trade with a friend. So that's cool.
Right.
Makes sense. Hey, how do we do version exclusives in Go? You make them regional. That's really how you do it now. How you do it now is a key point I want to bring up. Because we just had, we had Kartana and Celesteela, who, again, Sun and Moon exclusives. Makes sense. Cool. Got it. Whatever. And then, you know, you have Zangoose and Seviper version exclusives. Literal enemies in the lore. It's cool. Mm-hmm. It's fun. But then the part that I got to thinking about was the Latis. Latios and Latias. They're version exclusives. Latios is Ruby and Latias is Sapphire.
Yeah.
Those were not version exclusive rates. Those were not hemispherical. Those don't rotate. And it makes the most sense for them because those are roaming legendaries where like you have to find them in the world. And it like, so I'm like, you know what? I've come around. The hemispherical raids are kind of just cash grabby and it's not so cool. Because of how inconsistent it is.
Gosh, if only people could be this healthy in political discourse. Oh my goodness. No, but that's a good point. I think maybe the counterpoint would be that, well, actually, no, you're gonna answer my question, and I think I'm gonna be corrected and be wrong here. But maybe it could be that the Latis were in raids before they started doing this as a design element for version exclusive.
Yes, absolutely. And the question is, why did they start doing it as a design element? That's where the conversation happens.
I think they wanted to add more depth and encourage people to travel places and trade and remote raid and all that sort of stuff.
Obviously, this, politely speaking, that is the Niantic answer. We know that.
Of course.
Like, right. I know that if I talk to John Hankey, that is the response that he would give me. But we all really know is that it's another lever that gets you to do more raids and encourages people to do remote raids when remote raids are not as appealing anymore. Of course.
Right.
I don't think like, okay, so we got the Lake Spirits. The Lake Spirits were region locked, not hemisphere locked, but region locked. So like that's Gen 4. That's like, that's not that long after Gen 3 came out. I don't know. It's just like, it's very inconsistent. It's inconsistently consistent, and it bothers me.
Yeah, no, I think no. It's a good argument to be made. I just don't. I gotta go back
because the Lake Spirits are not version exclusives. You can get all three in your game.
Yeah,
They don't. That doesn't make any sense why those were region exclusives.
I think those, because those ones were roaming and very rare, and so they were trying to emulate that in the real world to some degree.
The legendary beasts are also roaming monsters.
That's true.
And we
get
them everywhere.
Yeah.
It's They're so only in inconsistent. Raids. That's all. That's all that it gets me. I'm not upset that they're locked hemispherically, although I'd probably be more upset if we didn't have Blacephalon. I am biased. I am a privileged position. I admit to my privilege and my bias here. I'm sure everyone who was stuck with Celesteela and not Cartana are very upset.
I know. So, yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I'm not very happy about it, but it's not as, like, it's not game ruining. But it definitely, it's just, it's strange. That's all. It's a strange inconsistency.
Yeah, I think I probably have to check my privilege on this a little bit too, from our ivory tower of Cartanas and soon to be Blacephalons. I don't know. It does kind of stink, because like, what if you're a free play player, like, in the remote raid passes are really expensive to get your hands on, like, one, you know, and you want to raid the other hemisphere, you're not going to have very many shots while it's available, and that is frustrating.
Can you imagine being a free to play player? You save up for, you're not the best player, was, you know, being polite. It's maybe a younger player, saves up daily coins from doing gyms, saves 5 days to get their raid passes, does two raids and doesn't catch either of them from one reason or another.
Ooh.
Like, and now you have to wait another week and then it's gone. It's only here for 10 days, 11 days. So like, if you don't have coins saved up, you get 3 shots of this as free to play, something like that. Not even. So like,
it's rough.
That's rough. That's
really
not
rough.
Very cool for a completion standpoint.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, no, good point. And we're running into the wall of the remote raid pass changes again. They used to be cheaper and more plentiful. And this stuff didn't matter as much. Yeah. So anyway, hey, let's dive head first into this new event for this research day and the comfort of familiarity. Huh? Flock Together Research Day. It's about birds, y'all. When is this? Saturday, May 11th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. local time. This is next Saturday. Featured Pokemon in research task encounters will be Spearow, Doduo, Hoothoot, Taillow, and Rufflet, all of which can be shiny. In the wild, you could encounter Pidgey, Murkrow, Wingull, Starly, Pidove, or Fletchling. All of those can also be shiny. There's going to be a $1 timed research. This timed research will challenge you to complete field research tasks to encounter more of the featured Pokemon of your choice. And you can choose between Spearow, Doduo, Hoothoot, Taillow, and Rufflet. I'm a little upset that Pidgey isn't one of the options.
Thank you. Actually. Oh my God. You said it before you gave me an opportunity to talk.
sorry.
I don't know why. God,
please.
I don't know why, but I'm a little hurt that Pidgey's not a target, because I want more shiny Pidgey. I don't even know if I actually have one. It's one that's escaped me.
And Rufflet's one of the choices here. I love Rufflet, right? I'm probably going to choose Rufflet. If Pidgey was on this list, I'd have a hard time choosing Rufflet over Pidgey. Because Pidgey's just so rare. It feels like the meta pick almost. It is.
Go back to 2020 and tell somebody Pidgey is rare. But see their reaction.
But it's real. This is the world we live in now.
You know, you can say this. It's really funny because like Rufflet is obviously like the premium option here. We have a little more at Reed, but it's not that as important.
Yeah.
I have 3 shiny Rufflet and no shiny Pidgey. How I don't have a shiny Pidgey, I have no idea, but I don't.
It's because when they were around, plentiful, in abundance, we didn't have the shiny. And then we started getting all these other filler Pokemon from other generations.
I was waiting for Pidgey Community Day. Back in like 2020, 2021, I was expecting it.
Yeah.
We never got it. I did get my Rufflet at GoFest in Seattle, so that's sort of cheating there, but yeah.
I don't know. That's how people target things, though, is that they go to these events and have like goals like we set, and they walk away with a shiny Snorlax with the cowboy hat, you know. Doduo is also a nice choice. I don't think I see shiny Doduos very often, but I'm not interested in Spearow, Hoothoot, or Tailow at all.
I mean, I don't have a shiny Spearow. I'm kind of interested in that.
Oh.
I think I'd probably take the Doduo just because I see less, like, for picking for this one.
Yeah.
I'll probably pick Doduo.
I've got three shiny Spearow. I'll save one for you. Wow. Don't pick
Did
that.
Did you get one at, like, Kanto 2 or something?
I got one in 2021, Caught in the Wild. The other one was Caught in the Wild in 23. And then the third one was Caught in the Wild 24 on 420.
Oh, my goodness. Well, nice.
During that community day, yeah.
Jesus. Well, we'll have to see what the, because obviously rates are really good, but having five featured Pokemon, what we're going to talk about, featured Pokemon is a lot. That's too many.
It is. And I think, what we're doing right now, trying to knock out candidates, is like the way to go. Like, you're not going to pick Tailow. Everybody, I think, has a shiny Tailow that wanted one. They got them. They were in a number of events, weren't they?
Tailow's been featured a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think Rufflet, Doduo, Spearow, I guess, if you don't have it. And then we should just riot for Pidgey.
Yeah, where is Pidgey? I know we're gonna get a lot of people sending in, be like, I have 14 shiny Pidgey, I never want to see another one again.
No, I don't care. I don't care.
So, yeah. So the standout for me is five is a lot for a research day. The last few that we've had have been two, I think, maybe three.
I think the electric one was like four.
Right. I didn't play the electric one. That's fair. That was also pushing it. Five is like four is rough. Five is too many. Two and three is really a sweet spot. Like two for the fossil one for Kranidos and Shieldon. Yeah. Awesome. Because you want both. They're both good choices. Here, like, you know, you're probably not going to want some of these, and it's going to feel bad to get it as an encounter. That's for sure.
Yeah, I would agree. But I feel like that's also just the nature of this type of spawn pool, right? They're just flying Pokemon. There isn't really anything in this list of Pokemon in the wild or research tasks, let alone the branching research choices that are like incredible. You know, there's nothing really rare going on here.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it depends on your point of view, because like these used to be super common. Now I'd say they're uncommon. They're not like hard to get, but you don't see 30 of them turning on your game every single time.
Yeah. Yep.
So that said, the biggest takeaway for me is several of the wild encounters are 12 candy evolutions. So I can use that berries and.
And this is on a Saturday, dude. You're just gonna be ready to go.
I'm hoping maybe I see a shiny Pidgey in the wild. It's not like boosted shiny, so
yeah,
you know, fingers crossed there.
Okay, so this is the play. The double evolution spotlight hour is the 14th. Yeah. This is the 11th. So if you need experience, do what Kyle's planning on doing. Catch a bunch of these in preparation for that spotlight.
Yeah, they literally set you up. You don't even have to like save a ton of inventory space. You only need to save like 100 of them.
Yeah.
And yeah, there you go.
And that's it. Cool.
I know people don't like to do evolutions, so I get it.
Yeah, no. That's why I'm very happy to be at max level, so I don't have to worry about it.
I like chilling and watching a YouTube video while I do it. It's great.
Therapeutic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, to each their own, I suppose. I love flying Pokemon. This is going to be a fun research day.
Yeah.
We've got one other piece of news here, and this is good news for everybody. The Master Ball returns in Masterwork Research. This is going to be on Tuesday, May 14th. May 14th again. At 10 a.m. to Sunday, May 19th at 8 p.m. local time. The event bonuses during this time will be 10 times experience awarded for your first catch of the day and 10 times experience awarded for your first Pokestop or Gym Spin of the day and 5 times Stardust awarded for your first catch of the day. So try to make your first catch of the day a Stardust bonus Pokemon if you can manage to do it. Masterwork Research, Catching Wonders. Oh, that's hilarious. This is the event, huh, Kyle? Oh, yeah.
Hey, we wrote this document. We did write this document before talking about it. That was a...
Oh, well.
Not intentional.
That's there. Okay. That's funny. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and it's a master ball. The catching. Oh, that makes
someone,
sense.
Someone was screaming.
Oh, I'm sure. Let us tender our formal apology now to that person. Okay, this event is bringing free masterwork research. Trainers who complete the research will receive a master ball as one of the rewards. Additional rewards include stardust, experience, berries, encounters with Pokemon, and more. Masterwork research is intended to be completed over a long period of time. And by that, they mean they're going to time gate us, so they make sure it takes a long amount of time.
Interact with your buddy 31 days in a row.
Oh, my God. Field research task encounters. There will be some event-themed field research tasks available. And if you complete those, you can earn Stardust, Experience, Pokeballs, Great Balls, and Ultra Balls. Is it December? Kind of feels like it. But this is free. Everybody gets this masterwork research for free, which is nice.
Yeah. Yep. Noteworthy, the last one was a timed research. So you couldn't hold on to it, right?
Like
you had to finish it at the time.
For the first Master Ball, I don't think it was Masterwork. No, I think it was
the second one. This is the third Master Ball that we've had. I did not get the second one because I didn't complete the research.
Oh, wasn't it tied to a Giovanni thing?
I don't remember.
I don't.
All
I
know
either.
Is it's not a special research. It's not still in my stack.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
man,
unless maybe I didn't
one?
Buy it, I don't think that would have been the case for me, but I'll have to go double check. But
yeah,
it's a research, so you get to keep it forever. And a reminder, you can't have two Master Balls. If you haven't used your first one, you won't be able to claim this one until you use it.
I thought you can. I thought that was fine. People found out that you just stack two.
Okay, then this is great. You know, when you get it in like 90 days, whenever the time gate allows.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's cool. Free stuff is great. Everybody loves Master Balls. Those are like nostalgia bait, you know. It's great. Nothing wrong with that. So lots of stuff to look forward to. I think we're finally done with the news. It's so funny, we talk so long about so little. Yeah. Make content update, flock together research day, and a free Master Ball research. So there you go, y'all. Yeah. Enjoy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that wraps up the news. So we'll hop into Gear Up next.
This week I'm Gear Up. I'm going to do What's the Big Deal with Diancie? Everyone's getting the chance to get their own Diancie finally. It's only been a year since it was released at GoFest.
Yep.
Seems to be the going trend at this point, but whatever. Anyways, Diancie, rock fairy type, and it has a mega form. That's the most noteworthy part about this here, because the mega form inverts its stats. Regular Diancie is very defensively focused. It has very high defense and special defense in the main games. Mega Diancie is an offensive Pokemon with high attack and special attack and, you know, mediocre defenses. As a result, regular Diancie is garbage. In Go, at least. It's borderline unusable. Even like in PvP rankings, I was looking, it's not good. Not good at all.
Yikes.
But the mega's good. With Rock Throw and Rock Slide, it is the best rock choice in the game outside of Shadow Rampardos.
Rampardos, that was going to be my first question.
who falls over to a Stiff Breeze. So it is better, but it's a lot harder to use. And so Mega Diancie is better than Mega Tyranitar, which is surprising, but it is a big but. Mega Tyranitar is a lot bulkier. And when you're bringing a Mega Pokemon, bulk is usually really important because it survives longer. It gives whoever you're raiding with stronger boosts for longer. So there actually is a trade-off for using a slightly squishier Mega. So yeah, this is a very quick one just to kind of shout out because I hadn't even really considered using Mega Diancie.
Yeah.
But it's good. If you get one that you want to use, it's definitely worth it. Although it is much harder to get resources for, as is obvious. XL candy, rare candy, mega energy, in fact, not easy to do.
You have to do research tasks that reward carbink, right? That's giving mega energy for Diancie right now.
Yes.
But I know catching carbink gave it at GoFest. I don't know if
that's still the case, because I catch carbink, it's always fast catch. I never check.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's tied to research rewards at the moment. So Mega Diancie is a difficult one to do if you have not been doing it free to play, if you got it at GoFest.
Yeah.
Getting it right now, it may take you a while to get a Mega Diancie worth using.
It looks like this research is pretty easy for people to blow through too, this glitz and glam thing. I'm on page 3, but people had it done like day of. So there probably isn't like any real gate in there. I think it's do the tasks. Yeah. Yep. It's fun. Like when I see things, I'm always like, I'm going to try to burn through this research. And then it's the weirdest things that I get hung up on. I'm just like, I don't want to do this right now. And I put it down and I forget to come back. Like on the first page or the second page, I don't remember what it was, but it was take 10 snapshots of different wild Pokemon. I'm like, who's got time for this? I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And then I did it later because I was like, I should probably see more of this before the show. And it took me like 15 seconds.
It's just like, oh, I'm done.
No time. Yeah. Jeez, that's kind of how I feel about gifting. Anyway, thank you, Mr. Kyle. Mega Diancie. That's right. We're going to take a quick little break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some lore.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
A poke. Welcome back. It's Pokelore time, and this week we're going to be talking about Spearow, the tiny bird Pokemon, and Fearow, the beak Pokemon. Y'all know I could not pass up an opportunity to talk about a little burb when we had a bird event going on, or about to happen, I suppose. First up is Spearow. Spearow is an avian Pokemon that is very small. It has rough brown plumage on its head and 3 brown tail feathers. It has narrow, dark brown eyes with white pupils and a short, hooked beak that is light pink. The feathers covering its wings are pinkish red with lighter tips, and it has a beige underside with 2 thin horizontal stripes. Its light pink feet have 2 toes in front and 1 in the back. Black feathers cover its back. Although inept at other aspects of its flying, such as height and distance, Spearow is still capable of flying quickly to protect its territory. However, it must flap its wings at high speeds to stay aloft. Spearow's loud shrieks can be heard from over 0.5 mile, or 1 kilometer, away, and are used to warn others of its kind of danger. In the first episode of Pokemon the series, Spearow is revealed to see in black and white and will chase its foes in a large flock. Spearows are found naturally in open habitats with warmer climates, mainly desolate wastelands and fields. I don't know where my local desolate wasteland is. Do you have one near you?
I don't think so.
I can find a field pretty easy.
Desolate wasteland. I mean, all of Southern Illinois is a desolate wasteland.
True. Take that, Southern Illinois. Anyway. Anyway, in these desolate wastelands and fields, it hunts insects. That's what this is all trying to say. Southern Illinois catching strays in our Pokelore about Spearow. Ekans, a natural predator of Spearow. Spearow preys on Sunkern. How could you do that? A little happy face on the Sunkern. Could you imagine? Next up is Fearow. Fearow is a large, mostly brown avian Pokemon with a vulturine neck and broad, powerful wings. It has a long, pointed pink beak and a decorative red coxcomb on top of its head. Its narrow eyes have very small pupils and do not appear to have colored irises. It has shaggy feathers at the base of its neck and covering the upper portion of its wings. These feathers are cream-colored, as are the tips of its flight feathers. Its sharp clawed talons are pink, with three toes pointing forward and one pointing backward. Fearow has been around mostly unchanged for many years, as a Pokemon resembling it has been seen on ancient murals. Its large wings and stamina allow it to fly for an entire day without landing. Its long neck and beak allow it to pluck prey from both land and water, and it has even been known to steal from unwary humans. Ho, ho, ho. It will shoot upward and then dive down to catch prey. It will also catch tiny insects that hide underground and circle the ocean for fish. Fearow are found naturally in open habitats with warmer climates, mainly wastelands and desolate fields. What? So we went from desolate wastelands to desolate fields?
Yep. Regular wastelands and desolate fields, and desolate wastelands and regular fields. Further proof that Pokemon lore is written by a 9-year-old.
It's fine. It certainly isn't checked. Yeah. That's hilarious. Stats for this Pokemon, Fearow. Max CP of 40, or at 40, of 1997. Good year. Oof. level 50, it's got a max CP of 2257. You're not going Ultra League, that's for sure. And spoilers, you ain't going to Great League either. Should just clarify that now up front. The stats: 163 stamina, 133 defense, and 182 attack. Certainly nothing to write home about. Best move set is going to be Peck with Sky Attack and Drill Run. Although I would behoove you to not use this Pokemon.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
One thing I wanted to do, you called out picking on Sunkern, so I wanted to look it up. Sunkern is 1 foot tall. That's how big a Sunkern is. It's a hefty boy. Spearow, also 1 foot tall. I get it that Sunkern is kind of defenseless, but what? In what world is Spearow taking on a Sunkern on a regular basis?
Oh my god. Yeah, I don't know. Wow. Yeah, and can one Spearow devour one Sunkern in one sitting? And
they also weigh almost exactly the same weight, too.
That's crazy.
4.4 pounds for Spearow and 4 pounds for Sunkern. It's so funny when you honestly make these comparisons.
What goes down in the desolate wasteland stays in the desolate wasteland, man. That's what I'm saying. So one thing I've always felt about Spearow and Fearow is that I really like Fearow, and I think Spearow is a cool Pokemon too, but Fearow is like scary. It's a big scary bird and it's designed to be like that, but it's also designed to sort of like be on the cusp of also being like a majestic bird Pokemon too, not just like scary but also like, oh wow, look at that, right? Mm-hmm. I always felt that it being a two stage was such a disservice. I think it needed a Pidgeot line type.
I don't necessarily think that, but I do think that Spearow and Fearow do get forgotten or lost because Pidgey's right there.
Yeah.
Like Pidgey is just better. And I don't think Spearow does anything unique enough as is. It's scarier, which is totally fair, but like Pidgey is just beloved, so it's hard to kind of compete. And they do compete, don't get it wrong.
They do. And it's like it's also just strange because Spearow doesn't bring anything else to the table that you would pick over Pidgey, even like logistically. I believe, doesn't Spearow evolve really late into Fearow too? Isn't it like 32 or something?
Yeah,
like
comparatively
that?
It is not. Because it's only level 20. It's only level 20. Level 20. That's fine.
Pidgeot is 14, right?
18.
And oh, Pidgeot
is 36.
Okay. Well, I guess I take that point back. Fearow really is not that hard to get to.
Huh. Yeah, just I don't know. Just it's lacking a little bit.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so if you have a desolate wasteland or a desolate field near you, you might be lucky enough to see one of these Pokemon. So get out there. Okay, that's it for Pokelore. That means it's time for Poke-a-Poll.
Last Poke-a-Poll was, how do you feel about Kanto-themed events? Are they fun trips down memory lane, or do Kanto spawns feel stale to you? First response from Andy502, and they said, been playing since the first week. Can't claim that I was there on the first day, but I think I qualify as a Pogo OG. But I still don't have either platinum badge for Tiny Rattata or Large Magikarp.
Yeah.
Also, and this is just plain weird, I have caught over 3,700 Eevee and got no hundo. So that's my answer. Even if it's stale, it's a crouton I gotta crunch. I respect that. Yeah. I don't respect Tiny Rattata and Large Magikarp badge, but I do respect the Eevee. Those badges are garbage.
They are garbage. I still don't have platinum in either of those either.
No, the only way to reasonably do that is to swap, is to trade, because it counts as another one, which is a little bit bogus.
I'm actually not
somehow
so sure.
Make trades not count and lower the number that the badge needs. That would be.
Oh my gosh. I'm like, I have 543 out of the 1,000.
If I don't have gold, I will probably not be surprised at all. I bet you they're silver. Yeah.
My youngster badge is silver.
my Fisher badge is silver. 213 out of 300.
Wow.
And my youngster badge is also silver. 90 out of 300. And I just for comparison, let's go look real quick. Hang on. I've caught 1,500 Rattata. It's not like I don't catch Rattata. And like, sure, that's not a lot. I know some people out here are going to have 5,000-6,000 Rattata caught. But what am I supposed to do, huh? It's an unreal. Where's Magikarp?
Keep catching.
I've only caught 1,800 Magikarp, but that's because I stopped catching them because I don't care anymore.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
But like, what?
I'm a little mortified that my Magikarp medal is still silver, or my Rattata medal is still silver.
Go check how many you caught.
How many Rattata?
Oh, yeah, well, both, obviously, because you have more Magikarp, because... I'm sure.
Okay, so just for reference, 252 Rattata, right? Uh-huh. And then Magikarp, 543. Okay, so then two ye old Pokedex to the Rattata. Where are you? Should be at the top here, sir.
Yeah, it's like fourth row.
Oh yeah, there he is. I've caught 2,281.
It's just all complete RNG. It's like, that's absurd.
I've seen 3,752. I have not caught like 1,500 Rattata I've seen. And then the next one was Magikarp, right? Who's towards the back? Here
towards
we
the
go.
Bottom, yeah.
Caught 3,413. Yeah.
It's kind of silly.
It is kind of silly.
Okay, we're going to move on. Respect for anybody who actually has those platinum badges. I know... A lot of those are a point of pride for a lot of people.
Yes, yes, and well earned.
Our next response from Triptando, and they said they at least had a good idea of running an event, Sustainability Week, alongside it. But I think there could have been some combined event spawns plus Kanto biome spawns instead of the event being research only. Sustainability Week felt really lackluster because of the no themed wild spawns. With how tired 99% of us already are of Kanto events, 2.5 weeks is a really long time for a Kanto event.
Yeah.
I think they definitely could have added more to it. For example, more Kanto Community Day moves for evolutions than just the starters. Some way to be able to get the regionals, whether that's eggs, raids, field research, etc. Perhaps Kanto only rocket grunts and give the shadow form to some Kanto Pokemon that haven't had it before.
Ooh.
Because think of it. Team Rocket is as OG as Kanto itself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's fair. That's a fair point. tie in with the point above, but this would have been perfect. An opportunity for a 2.5 week return of Jesse and James.
Yeah, I'm dying for that.
I get it that they want to show off the biome spawns with the most iconic Pokemon that everybody knows, and a Kanto event for that makes sense. But when you do it for this long, there really should have been more to it. Sorry for the long Pokeball answer, but I think this could have some cool discussion points. Much love, Tristan. I mean, I really agree. 2.5, I don't have any problem with Kanto events as a principle, but 2.5 is a long time for nothing special.
Yeah, yeah. The point about the regionals is the one that stood out to me the most. Why are they not in Tier 3 raids?
Like, I feel like they have been featured so frequently. You don't lose anything by putting Kanto regionals in raids anymore.
No.
They're not a draw to get somebody to an event. So, like an in-person event, I should say. So what's the harm? You know, Sirfetch'd already exists. Like, a Galarian Farfetch'd can be got to get the dex entry for Farfetch'd. Yeah. So you're not holding a dex entry over somebody.
The same will then be true with Tauros, since we get our Galarian Tauros off the ground too.
Absolutely. Agreed. Yeah. Mime Jr. is available in eggs sometimes, right? That's not.
Sometimes, but they only started recently doing that. It used to be excluded still, like up until pretty recently.
Yeah. So like, but that's something else. Like, it's just, and Genghis Khan has a mega. Like,
yeah.
Like, there, literally all four of those Pokemon taken care of. They can stay regional, just stop making them special.
Yeah.
Would have been a perfect time to put Kangaskhan in mega raids.
It would have been.
Like, that's fine. Whatever. I don't care about anything else. It's just, here's your opportunity to get Kangaskhan and get the mega energy for it. It's not actually that useful. It's only a normal type, so who cares?
Like, yeah, this is for your mega decks. Yeah.
The opportunity cost is so low for Niantic that it definitely stands out.
And we wouldn't be having this conversation of what's the point of this event. We'd been like, oh yeah, there you go. There's your value. Yeah,
absolutely. Next response is from Modders, and he said, hello, gents. I could never be bored of Kanto. Would have liked a bit of Staryu action, yes, so I could chase down that elusive shiny for the decks. That said, this has been good for the old XP grind with the friendship bonus and the 12/25 candy mons for Pidgey stacking, aka the grinder. Loving your work as ever. Cheers, chaps. Yeah, Modders, my man, stacking the grinder. That's hope you're gonna go hard for the Flock Together event, Modders. That's a lot of candy to stack.
That's right. It's a lot of XP on the table.
What did Modders need? What did they were going for 500 million experience, right? That was your competition with Dad.
If I remember correctly, that's right.
Yeah. Their pace tracking is quite good, gonna say. And then Dad posted a picture in our Discord of his bag, and he had like 40 total Pokeballs. And I'm like, dude, what? Huh? How are you competing?
That is kind of crazy, actually. I would have severe anxiety if that was the case.
I'm already kind of low on the premium on blue and yellow. And it's a problem. I am not going to be sufficiently prepared at this current rate for July, the rate I use them.
Jeez. Yeah.
I have like 1,800 red balls, though.
You do? Oh, I'm sitting at like 300, I think, right now.
I only have 200 combined great and ultra, though.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Yeah. No, I started after Bellsprout Community Day, because I caught so stinking many of them. I went through all my great balls finally, and I moved on to my ultra balls. I had like 1,300 of them.
Jesus.
Yeah. I think we're down to like 700 now, something like that. Okay. So, yeah.
For our last comment, we have from Carlo. He said, I'm tired of Kanto events and have been for a long time. There are 73 non-legendary basic Pokemon, doesn't evolve from anything, so it evolves from a baby, of Kanto. If we take out the four regionals, Farfetch'd, Mr. Mime, Kangaskhan, Tauros, and the five starters, Trio plus Pika and Eevee, we have 64 families to pull from, more than enough to make an event around. But 16 of those families have had community days, 15 if you distinguish between Alolan Geodude and Kanto Geodude. Note that Niantic does not distinguish.
We have 48 right. Canto families that haven't had a community day that would be prime for event spawns if they want to breathe new life into the most rehashed region in the franchise. Honestly, some of those 48 probably have had a raid day, looking at you, Licky Tongue, or something that are bypassing my criteria for being tired of. I think most of my irritation of another Canto event is that we don't have Galar starters and are still missing a few chunks of Alola, but to coordinate with main series games have had more than one Paldean event. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And I think it coincides with what I'd said, you know, 10 days ago when we recorded last, that there is stuff in Kanto to make compelling events. It still exists, as wild as that sounds. They just don't do it as much.
This made me realize I made a mistake.
Yeah.
It's not Galarian Tauros, it's Paldean Tauros.
It is Paldean Tauros. You are correct. Gosh, I didn't catch it. You either. I heard that. I just didn't think about it. That said, we're more likely to get a Paldean Pokemon than a Galarian Pokemon anyways. So
yes. Yes. And those this is becoming a good meme. I'm loving it. It's people have been talking about that for like over a year now. They're like, hold on a second. What happened to Alola? What happened to Galar?
It is crazy. We'll circle back. Yeah. It's crazy how ignored Galar got. Like,
yeah.
Go was in full swing when Galar came out. They had just done the crossover with the Pokeball Plus for Let's Go. How did they not tie in more Galar at the time? We got like Galarian Weezing.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. Like, I'm not even joking, obviously. It was cool.
Well, the only quick move it had forever was Tackle. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, then they made Tackle good, so.
Oh, sure.
But it was fun. But, like, the opportunity was prime back then. And
yeah.
I don't blame them for not doing it now. Like, I know a lot of people are upset about it. I don't blame them. Galar is, quote-unquote, old news, but Paldea is the new hotness. So new it makes hotness. Sense.
That's right.
But I do. And also, Paldea has some great Pokemon, man. Paldea's Pokemon are so much better than Galar. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, Galar's got some good ones.
It does. But yeah. I think as a whole, the Dex and Paldea is better. Dreepy is great.
Yeah.
But like Frigibax is also really good.
I don't like Frigibax. I like Arctibax and whatever its last evolution is.
Excalibur. I disagree. I don't like Baxcalibur. I like Frigibax.
I don't like its like ice mole it has on its face. It's very strange.
I don't like the weird claws coming out of the hands on our Baxcalibur.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know. We already had a Godzilla Pokemon, and then they had to do it like another one that's less unique. It looks like Godzilla.
Godzilla, but make it cold.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. But anyways, there's a lot left in Kanto. There is a lot of life in Kanto. They just need to stop doing Ekans, Onix, Pidgey, Spearow, and the starters. Like, there's so many other Pokemon still in that generation.
Oh, except I'm going to correct you. Don't put Pidgey in that list. We could use more Pidgey.
Well, I know that. But, like, if you're going to do a Kanto event, I don't want it to be focused on Pidgey. Like, I want to see Pidgey in general.
Yeah.
But like if it's about Kanto, there's so much there.
Well, we can agree to disagree. I want Pidgey.
I mean, I'm not going to say no if Pidgey shows up. I do like Pidgey.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Go back to when we start recording this podcast. Both of us were like level 37. I don't want to see another Pidgey again.
No thanks.
All right. For this week's Pokeball, we have, how much do IVs matter to you and how do they affect your approach to managing, leveling, and utilizing your Pokemon?
So I feel like we've talked a lot about how IVs don't and do matter in different scenarios in the past, and we've gone to great lengths to personally affirm people's beliefs that IVs don't really matter. I know that this is not true. They do matter, and they might not matter for an in-game reason, but they do. They might matter for an out-of-game reason, and I'm curious what that is. I want to hear that from everybody else, because we've talked about what we decide to do with what Pokemon on the show. So, Kyle, do you have an answer ready to go for this?
Yeah. Okay. I do. So IVs matter like a lot to me. Personally, I like getting hundos. I like getting good IV Pokemon. It's something I, you know, strive for. I really like doing research on Community Day now because of the better chance of getting a hundo. And that said, not great IVs will not stop me from powering up a Pokemon anymore. If I only have passable Pokemon, I don't have a great Kartana, for example. My Kartana is like, I don't know, 13, 12, 12 or something like that. I powered it up. It's level 40. I don't care. It's not going to go to level 50 because I don't have the XL. But if it was, if I did have the XL, I'd consider it.
Okay.
XL is a bigger grind, though, so I would want to have something more permanent.
It definitely is.
And so, and for PvP, I will, if I have the Pokemon, I will use it pretty much. The IV, I don't even consider the IV unless it's something very specific that I like. Like, I got a really good Annihilate for Great League, and I really like the Pokemon, so I made sure to check the IVs for those.
Yeah.
But like, if I need a Skarmory, I don't need the rank one Skarmory. I'm going to use the Skarmory I have that is, that I can power up reasonably to 1500. As for managing,
that's fair.
I don't manage the IVs at all. I mark them when I check them the first time, and that's it. Stuff gets cleared out if it's not marked. Yeah. I don't go and look to see, all right, I got four Skarmories marked. Which one has the best IV? No, I'm just, no.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty similar in a lot of ways. I do have much more of a fixation on only spending resources on Pokemon that I think I'm actually going to use. And if that's a 96% of this one meta Pokemon, I'll level up a little bit, but it's not going to 50 because I want to save that those resources for when the hundo does eventually roll around, if it does. Mm-hmm. Right. Still waiting on that Scyther for years now.
Man. Yeah. Like I've got a 90% Tyranitar level 50. Doesn't matter.
Don't you have like two hundos now, though?
No, I don't have a hundo Tyranitar. I have a 93. This is not a 93. These are old numbers from when I first caught them. This is a 94. 12, 15, 15. It is level 40 because I haven't put the XL into it, but I would consider it, for example.
How do you, I thought we both got the same hundo.
No. I got a 15, 15, 15. Dialga.
Okay.
It's level 40. I will probably take it to 50 when I have enough XL, which is only like 25 more. So like, that's not that long. For example, like that, those kind of nitpicks will never bother me. Now, yeah. If I get a hundo, I'll use it. Even if I've already committed to something else, I will still do it. So.
Okay. Yeah. Even if you are low on resources, you'll still be like, I'm just going to put everything I can into this one now.
Yeah, or it's going on the list. Like, yeah. If I haven't had to consider Stardust for something I'm powering up in a long time, but if I were to, I definitely wouldn't put resources into it if I had something else to spend the Stardust on.
Yeah,
but for sure. It would be like, all right, you're going here, and then when I get to this part of the list, you're powered up.
Good deal. Yeah, I also don't tag. Like you said, I check for the IVs up front. And unless it's a Pokemon that I know is going to be good for PvP, like at a community day, like if I'm like, oh, I heard that the Victory Bell was going to be decent. Like, I'll keep an eye out for that one. And I have some search strings saved just for that, just looking for PvP IVs sets.
Yeah.
But outside of that, if it ain't a hundo, it's going in the trash.
It's a costume, you know, maybe you keep it.
Well, and that's the only reason I'm keeping all these costumes is because I can't select all and then do it without like feeling the fear of God that maybe I'm transferring something I didn't mean to by accident.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that happens a lot. I wish I could choose those qualifying factors of what things get caught up in. That are you sure you want to, because like big and small Pokemon I don't care about anymore, not nearly as much as shiny or legendary, right?
If I caught a big Pokemon while its spotlight is going on or whatever, I will put it in a Pokestop and then and then that's it.
Yeah, a lot of my big and small Pokemon, they will win me a contest and then they are instantly retired for their labors.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. Yep. Anyway, dear listener, if you have an answer to this week's Pokeball question, which is how much do IVs matter to you and how do they affect your approach to managing, leveling, and utilizing your Pokemon. You can answer that question. We post it on our X account. That's at GoCast Podcast. If you are a patron of ours via patreon.com, you can answer the question in the PokePoll channel in the Discord there. If you're watching the video version on YouTube, hello, YouTube. I'm waving. You can leave a comment with your answer to the question as well. If you're listening on Spotify, in particular on the mobile app, you can also interact with the episode directly and leave a response to the question posted there. What am I missing? Oh, of course, El Clasico. You can send us an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 262-586-7717. And speaking of emails and voicemails, Mr. Kyle, this has been a longer show. I'm going to need you to help me set me straight. Where are we?
It's time for emails.
Oh, that's sick. And one voicemail. And this voicemail is from Kevin Red Bull.
Hey, Chris and Kyle. It's Kevin Red Bull here. I just wanted to say that I realized that this Kanto event that's been going on this whole entire time, you know, that we have for like 2 weeks and we still have for about another week. Apparently, it's you get double hearts when you open gifts from your friends and, you know, engage with your friend in friendship.
That's crazy.
And I was just calling because I'm like, you know, Chris and Kyle has not sent nor opened a single gift this holy month. Granted, the first week, I think I might have got a gift from Kyle, but certainly not from Chris.
No.
So, yeah, if you guys could open my gifts, because I think Chris and I are actually like a day or two away from ultra friending. So yeah, please open my gifts, guys. I miss you. Have a great day. Shiny vibes all. Kevin Red Bull out.
I did in fact open and then send a gift to Kevin Red Bull, and we are now ultra friends. So
I will own up in that with not having played much because Monster Hunter, I have not opened very many gifts. So that's on me. I definitely should have, especially because this event was going on. But yeah,
I've just fallen off completely, man. Yeah.
You don't need the experience. Who cares? As soon as I'm level 50, no one's getting another gift from me ever again.
It is starting to get a little embarrassing for some of these people that have been on my friends list for 2-3 years. And they're like, you know, good friends or great friends or whatever. And it's like, because I've said yes to a few of their raids, nothing to do with gifts. Yeah. And, you know, you meet up in person, they're like, oh, want to trade? And it's like, oh, I don't want to spend 100,000 Stardust on this.
Yep. Well, whose fault is that?
Niantic for making it
right.
So stinking expensive. Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for the voicemail, Kevin Red Bull. Would you like to take this first email, Mr. Kyle?
All right. First email is from Matt. And I said, I love the podcast. Thanks for all the great content. I'm in my 40s and my dad and I take a trip each summer. This year it's to Chicago for the weekend of 6/15 with some time in
Monet?
No, that would have an accent. That's Monty as well. Any tips of places I must visit or cool opportunities for Pokemon play? Thanks. Not sorry for the long email. Regards, Matt. Well, this depends on where you're coming from, for sure. If you're not coming from a major city, the suggestions are a little bit different, I feel. What are you thinking, Chris?
I mean, I think generally speaking, even if that's not the case and they are coming from another city, go play around Millennium Park, Michigan Avenue, Navy Pier, and Lincoln Park, in particular the zoo.
Yeah, if you want to visit the zoo is a fantastic place to play Go and also enjoy the zoo. It's a great zoo.
Yeah.
That said, as in terms of like just touristy bits, if you're not from like New York, definitely go to some museums of your choice. Of the like big five in Chicago are absolutely worth coming to Chicago to go see. Art Institute, Shedd Aquarium, Museum of Science and Industry, Field Museum, Adler Planetarium, all S-plus experience. The Art Institute less so if you are not into the history of the art itself, but it's still amazing.
So I used to feel the same way, but every time that I go in there, and I guess I am an art-minded person, you and I both are, I just love that building. Walking around absolutely. That building.
I cannot suggest going to those museums enough. The Field Museum is my favorite of those five.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend if you only end up doing one, Field Museum or Art Institute for sure.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you. I was about to ask you that like double jeopardy question of, hey, as somebody from Chicago, if you could only go to one of those five museums for the rest of your life, you could not go to any of the other ones, which one would you choose?
I'm going to say the Field Museum.
Yeah.
Because I love all the dinosaurs and stuff, but like just in general, it's really good. I feel like the correct answer for amount of stuff that's there is the Art Institute. Because you can spend an entire afternoon in a single hall and not learn everything that there is to learn there.
Yeah.
But I think the Field Museum is more entertaining.
I'm right there with you. Field all the way. Certainly wasn't going to say the Shed, but.
I like the Shed Aquarium. No, the Shed's so cool. The Shed Aquarium is located like right on the water. It's like on this its own like peninsula to go out there. Like
it's very cool.
It's really cool. Those two museums and visiting Millennium Park and that downtown area of Chicago is about the best downtown play you can get for go in Chicago.
Yep. And you can walk from Millennium Park to Navy Pier or Millennium Park to the museums relatively easily. There are paths for those.
Yeah, Art Institute's right there. Art Institute is right off of Millennium Park. You can even make a day of it. Field Museum is not too far. No. And Navy Pier is like 20-minute walk north. Yep. So.
And you can tell where the Art Institute is because it's across the street from that iconic Starbucks that we go to every time we're in the city.
Oh, that poor Starbucks. I feel bad for that Starbucks every time. Yeah,
that poor Starbucks, that's for sure. Right. Anyway, thank you for the email, Matt, and hope that you enjoy your trip. Let us know what you end up doing and how your experience was. That's great. This next email is from Nine Thistles, and they said, hiya, GoCasters and potential guests. Not this time, so sorry. Nine Thistles here. Currently, I'm on lunch break in the woods, watching yet more snow clouds slowly engulfing the mountains and wistfully thinking of my nice thick jacket hanging on a hook at home.
Oh, no.
Last time, I wrote in about routes. I talked about wanting to make them up into the mountains as well as trails closer to town. I'm happy to report that I've made 5 such routes so far. As I said before, I maintain trails and often have to hike out pretty far to get to my work site, so I might as well get some fun out of it. Thankfully, the local community is very outdoor motivated. I've met several folks who moved out here for the hiking specifically, so I often have Pokestops way out in the middle of nowhere to link up to. Although, there are some places that need stops, so it might be time for me to jump into Wayfair. I don't mind routes that have tons of stops and gyms and such, but I really enjoy walking routes out in the woods. Someone enjoyed a trail enough that they wanted to enjoy it in game as well. And what's better than that? Oh, that's a good point. That's pretty cool. Along those lines, the overworld map in Pokemon Go is actually very helpful for navigation. I have to use 3 different map apps for work, 1 for boundary lines, 1 for complete trail data, and my favorite, Pokemon Go. The fact that the game drops me immediately into an eye level POV or point of view is so nice. The others load a county-wide or even state-wide map, so I have to clarify that I want my location, then it takes its sweet time loading a satellite POV, and then stutter loads as I zoom in. Why does it take 3 years for a high-end map to tell me where I am? Pokemon Go's uncomplicated map is a godsend for sure, and now with the aesthetic refresh, it's even better. I love the overworld and catch screens. They are absolutely incredible. To briefly touch on the state of avatars, I will confess that I think Niantic did the funniest thing possible. That's a good take. Not only does my avatar look and move like a possessed marionette puppet now, but my costume has even worse clipping, ? This is hilarious, especially since it was followed by the best looking update so far. Pokemon Go had never looked better, and my character does not belong in it. To be honest, though, I rely on clipping to make my costumes look silly. I'm always rocking a goofy hat, glasses, mask combo, so I don't mind too much that I have a goblinoid face these days. For those who hate the avatars, I offer my condolences. For those who enjoy it, I offer my congratulations. As for me, I will probably remain neutral for the foreseeable future. My only complaint is that the clothes aren't as vibrant. Yeah, that's a good piece of feedback. Did you see that as well, Kyle?
No.
There's like before and afters of some of the clothing items, and the colors are just like muted in the colors, the clothing items. It's crazy. It's crazy. And now, at last, I want to share my goals. These are to be completed by Global Go Fest. One, get into at least 5 gyms a week and hope for a good turnover. I need 3,200 coins to get both my Pokemon and item inventory up to 2,500. Oh, man, you're below that? Oh, man, I could... Oof. Two, get silver badges in all gyms in town. Three, get all route badges in town, which is starting to border on impossible, but challenge accepted. And four, get enough XXL candy to get my first hundo, my Binette named Scarecrow, up to level 50. That's a great name for a Binette.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all for me. Thanks as always for the excellent content. Shiny vibes to all. 9 thistles. Sounds like you're doing the Lord's work on those paths, though. I don't want to pass over that. So thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, routes are a solid feature if it weren't for, you know, the whole Zygarde cell stuff that's slightly better now.
What do you mean? It's a feature.
It's not a bug. It's a feature. That's the Niantic way.
That's right.
Especially with all the clothes.
Yeah. All all these points about the clipping and the colors being really muted is making me sad again. I did, yeah. I think, get my avatar to a place where I'm happy with the way he looks. I put some meat on his bones. He's got a backwards the Genesect hat and a single sling and some jeans. Looks like me a little bit. No beard, but it's close.
I think. So I was listening to It's Super Effective last week or the week before. And Steve brought up a great point, is that you don't need to look like your avatar. You just need to be cool with your avatar. Like, mm-hmm. You have to like the character enough that you don't think about it otherwise. And I think that's where the update failed. Because while people didn't want more customization, they didn't hate their characters beforehand. And now they're like, well, I'm supposed to look like my character because that's what they did. That's the whole point of having more customization. But I don't. So now I'm more unhappy.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah. I think that's true. And it was really interesting to then also hear Hannah's perspective, because Hannah was very happy with the avatar change and how that avatar turned out to look like Hannah in game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was a nice conversation too. But yeah, that idea that Steve was talking about also kind of ties in with what we were talking about last week, that like in World of Warcraft, you get to play different, like a big tall cow race called a Tauren. That doesn't look like you, but it is your character because your role playing is that. And that is also cool, right? But that's not necessary. You feel like you're playing dress up, and it's like in the new Go avatar update, and it's, I don't know. It's just, it's very othering, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing in the world for me, but it is for some people. And I absolutely respect and understand that. That's for sure. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. Those are valid feelings. It's very strange. People were very attached to their characters, and hopefully they can be again. But thank you very much for the email, Nine Thistles. Keep up the good work with the routes and your goals. Good luck on your goals. My word.
Our last email is from Desmodus, and they said, "Hey, Chris and Kyle, I have been waiting to write in about this, and I feel like it finally makes sense as I just heard you talking about the impersonal nature of Pokemon relationships in Go. I love this game, but this is something that has bothered me from the start. Pokemon is an RPG, but relationships don't matter at all in Go. Trainer, yay, I got a 98% whateverion. Suddenly encounters a hundo whateverion. Trainer, 98%. I love you and all, but sorry, you have to die now. You, Professor Raygun. I honestly struggle with this. I have a shiny Charizard, my favorite Pokemon, but also almost dread the thought of catching a hundo since I've put countless hours of play into my less than 100% shiny Charizard. The guilt would be excruciating. Am I the only one with this mental block? I really wish Niantic would find a way to reward loyalty to specific Pokemon instead of simply encouraging the catch train shred loop. I think this is what the buddy system should be about. Offer some sort of reward enhancements to people who spend time with buddies. Sorry for the blah, blah, blah. Shiny blah, blah vibes. Desmodus.
That's good. That's a good sign up.
Absolutely. I mean, I agree completely. I think the key difference with Go and main series games is that Go is it's a catching game. It's an exploration game. It's not really about the Pokemon, like the specific Pokemon. It's about the experience. You know, you got to remember when the game came out, you didn't have anything to do with the Pokemon you caught.
Mm-hmm,
you just caught them and you powered them up. Like, what are we doing here? You didn't have buddies. You didn't have gyms.
There wasn't like battling.
There was no battling. There was no rocket crunch. There was nothing. It was all about the experience of catching.
Yep.
And I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that Niantic has kind of forgotten that that's what they started with, but that's not where we are anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the game has evolved sufficiently that that doesn't work as well as an excuse for not having the connection with your Pokemon in the same way.
Yeah, I mean, also, it's just like the sheer volume of Pokemon that we're catching in comparison to other games, right? Like, you can catch 1,000 Pokemon in Go in the same time it would take you to catch 100 Pokemon with some difficulty in a main series game, right?
Yeah.
And so that impersonal nature, it's almost like I've been thinking about this since we talked about it last time. And to me, like, when I catch 1,000 Bellsprout in Go, what I'm really looking for is if I'm looking to have a Bellsprout to have like a relationship with, right? Like we're describing here, like one that I care about and name and stuff like that. If it's not a hundo, I'll take the best one that I've had so far, and that one becomes a placeholder, and I'll name it that name and everything. And then when I catch that hundo, it just feels like, oh, I finally have the version of this Pokemon that I want, and now this is that Pokemon. Like, they're all just instances.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I feel the same way, but I understand why like Desmodus doesn't feel that way in the same way. Regard.
Yeah.
You know, is there a balance? Would catching a hundo instead giving you a credit towards another Pokemon that you already have a best buddy make it feel any better? Maybe, but not sufficiently, I think. You know, I have 4 hundo Gengars. All of them are best buddies, so I've put in the time there, and like, I like all of them. They're all important to me. They're all Mega 3 as well. So
yeah.
Now if I get a Hundo Shiny, that's not going to make me feel worse about my 89 Shiny that's level 50, that's Mega 3, that's Best Buddy. It's going to join the party.
Yeah, okay.
So to speak. And yeah. I think that's a way to look at Go, in that you can have more than one Charizard. It didn't make sense to have more than one Charizard in the main series games, but in Go it does. And I think that's a potentially maybe a easier way or a healthier way to look at it when it comes to having duplicates of stuff.
Yeah. And especially with, you know, storage upwards of like close to 8,000, you can afford to have, you know, your buddy Charizard that's not 100% that you spent a lot of time with. Like, that's fine. Yeah, Kyle, you're right. I think that's the take, man. That's that's right. That lean into the strength of the difference instead of the downside of it, which is it becoming impersonal. Oh, that just means that I can have more friends, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, anyway, thank you so much for the email there, Desmodus. And if you would like to send us an email just like these fine folks did, you can, by sending it to mail@gocastpodcast.com, or you can send us a voicemail by calling 262-586-7717 to ask us why we have also not opened or sent you a gift in like a calendar year.
If I'm already best friends with you, don't send the message, please. I'm not going to open it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, that's no.
I
no,
apologize. That's even closer friends. Even more personal friends of the show. I'm not opening.
No,
sorry, no, Tyler. Sorry,
don't apologize. Don't apologize to these maniacs that want
Sorry,
you
Mitch. Sp-
oh, we I'm should apologize to Mitch
because Mitch is like, but we could be lucky friends. I'm like, too bad.
That's too bad. Alrighty. Well, anyway, you can send us an email to mail@gocastpodcast.com. Visit our website for all things GoCast at gocastpodcast.com. Follow us on X at GoCast Podcast. If you'd like to help support the show, you can for as little as $1 a month over at Patreon. That's Patreon.com. And then use the / after that, GoCast Podcast. And speaking of patrons, shout out to our elite trainer tier patrons. Big, big thank you to Bo, Daniel, Lori, Michael, Ozzy, Arkham, Marvin, Amimi, Sforza with Sui and Ryan, Thayer, Jason, Justin, Charles, Modders, Lee, William, Brandon, Ethan, Steven, Nick, our favorite listener, Drew 2, Camo, The Ugly Rock, Jacob, Victoria, and Sarah Lore. Thank you so much for helping us keep the digital lights on with your generous support, amongst other things. Okie dokie. You could also leave us a review if you'd like to help support the show. It actually does help us a ton. I know I've mentioned that every single episode ever. but honestly, we've been getting some more reviews in and it is helping our discoverability and all that good stuff. So thank you so much for those of you that have done it. And if you haven't, please, it takes just a moment. We would love you forever. Okay, this has been an episode, Mr. Kyle, but we've got to set some goals and then ski daddle out of here. So what have you got going on this week? What is happening this week? It's Go Battle weekend right now, right?
Rival week is happening.
Yeah, that's right.
Happening right now, actually. It's already started.
I think it ends on Tuesday, something like that.
I don't know.
Okay.
We are recording again in 3 days or so. So,
Be aware of that. Yeah.
300K experience, because we're recording again soon. I want to get to Kanto research step 3. I just got to step 2. I know I'm not going to finish it in 3 days. So
nice.
And I want to finish the Rivals week time research, which is not very long. I just have to like fight 10 rockets and catch a bunch of fighting types. So yeah.
Okie dokie. Look at you. I want to get 18.5 million Stardust on hand. I'm at 18.37 right now. So that should be doable in the next few days. 50 eggs, I'm at 31. I should probably be able to do that this weekend. And I want to finish the glitz and glam research since it seems very doable. And I'm halfway through right now. I've got to use an incense, power at Pokemon 20 times, and catch 15 different species. Wowee. Wow. Oh yeah. You know what? I forgot to say that also the Wonder Ticket Part 3 came out. We didn't mention that, I don't think.
Nope.
But that did. That ticket's available to be done as well. Okay, that's it. We'll see y'all next week for episode 281. Thanks for listening all the way through. Till next time, bye-bye.
Bye.